The Havana Syndrome is a set of medical signs and symptoms reported by the United States and Canadian embassy staff in Cuba dating back to late 2016, as well as subsequently in some other countries, including the United States and Austria. Subsequent studies of the affected diplomats in Cuba, published in the journal JAMA back in 2018, found evidence that the diplomats experienced some form of brain injury, but would not determine the cause of the injuries at this point. In a moment, we're going live to New Zealand. Robert Bartholomew back with us. We're going to talk about his latest work, Havana Syndrome, later on in the program. He's got his other book that he talked with us about several years ago, American Hauntings. We'll be talking about some haunting stories in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Dr. Robert Bartholomew back with us, an honorary senior lecturer in the Department of Psychological Medicine at Auckland University in New Zealand. He has spent the past 5 years studying the Havana Syndrome, has written a book called Havana Syndrome, is the co-author of the Havana Syndrome with UCLA neurologist Robert Balow. He has written extensively on the history of UFOs, cryptozoology, poltergeists, social panics, and mass hysteria. He is known for working with believers and skeptics. Welcome back, Dr. Robert. Good to have you, my friend.
Great to be with you, George.
Lots going on. I do want to talk to you later about panic syndrome. I think with COVID, it's happening right now. This is a tough time for everybody, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, we've been very lucky here in New Zealand. It's pretty quiet. Mostly life is normal. There hasn't been a community COVID case here in several months.
Much easier than what's happening in Australia, and you're right next to each other.
That's right, and I think we're just lucky. We're lucky that we're surrounded by water, and, you know, it's too far to swim. So we've just lucked out.
Absolutely. Let's talk about Havana Syndrome. By the way, I think your book is the only book dedicated to this subject. Am I right?
That's correct.
What got you to write it?
Well, all the misinformation out there, and for 4.5 years, UCLA neurologist Bob Balow and I have studied this case. He's one of the top neurologists in the country. He developed some of the tests that have been used in the studies on Havana syndrome patients. And we're convinced that this is an outbreak of mass hysteria, mass psychogenic illness. And I know that sounds ridiculous because there are reports of white matter tract changes to the brain, hearing loss, brain damage, and even nosebleeds. And people say to me, they say, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not mass hysteria. But when you look closely at the case, it didn't happen. None of that happened.
Really? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we've got a little delay because you're so far away, so we'll have to pick that up a little bit. Now, you know, our intelligence sources believe it's the Russian military that might be responsible for this. So you think not?
I don't think so. Initially, I did. When I heard about this, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's the Russians or the Chinese, and they're pointing some kind of ray gun or weapon, sonic device or pulse microwave radiation. But then we started looking into it. And let me give you an example. The reports of white matter tract changes never happened. December of 2017, information was leaked to the media that doctors examining a number of the Havana syndrome patients had discovered significant white matter tract changes in their brains. And this was big news. For the next year, there were headlines about doctors finding brain anomalies in many of the diplomats. Then in early 2018, the study finally came out. Of the 21 patients, only 3 had white matter tract changes. 2 were mild, 1 was moderate. George, if you walk down any street in Los Angeles today and randomly pick 21 people, that is exactly what you would expect to find, because white matter tract changes are common in everything from migraines to depression to normal aging. So the claims of white matter tract changes are a myth, even though they're still reported in the media. And then there's the claims of brain damage. You know, that came from a 2019 JAMA study, Journal of the American Medical Association, which found brain anomalies in a group of diplomats, and it made headlines, you know, diplomats suffering from brain damage. They did find anomalies, but that's not the same as brain damage. The authors of that study were forced to admit in the study that the anomalies were not so significant that they could not rule out the possibility they were caused by individual variation. You know, you study brain scans of any group, you'll find anomalies. It's just like teeth.
Sure.
If you look at the teeth of 25 people, you'll find anomalies. It doesn't mean they're exposed to some energy weapon.
You're going to get cavities if you look at 20 people in their mouth.
And, you know, the other thing about the study was those same anomalies could be caused by exposure to long-term stress because they weren't that significant. Then the other big thing is the hearing loss. You hear that in the media quite a bit. A lot of the patients have suffered hearing loss. Never happened. That can be traced back to 2018, the results of a forthcoming study on 25 U.S. diplomats were leaked to the media, and it was claimed that one-third of the patients had hearing loss. Once again, it made headlines, diplomats suffering from hearing loss. But when the study was actually published later that year in December, they reported only two subjects had hearing loss, and in both cases, it had occurred before they even went to Cuba. And what happened was, when they were interviewed, the subjects had expressed a belief that they had hearing loss, but when given a standard hearing test, they returned normal results. And then the other one that gets reported is nosebleeds. Some of the patients had nosebleeds. Mm-hmm. That's true, but not very many people had nosebleeds. People get nosebleeds. You know, it happens all the time. So if you take away the claims of white matter tract changes, hearing loss, brain damage, and nosebleeds, you have a textbook case of mass hysteria, mass psychogenic illness.
Well, where did these false reports come from?
Well, these were things that were leaked to the media, and then it got put out there. But when the actual studies came out, it doesn't give it as much coverage when the study is actually published. And for me, it goes back to how this all started. You have to go back to the beginning. To figure this case out, you have to look at patient zero, the first report that happened. It all started in a small unit of CIA officers in Havana, late 2016. And for several weeks, they'd been hearing mysterious sounds. And then one day, one of them wasn't feeling well and had a headache and some ear pain. And the theory emerged that they were being harassed with some new weapon. This rumor then spread through the CIA unit to other members and then later to American and Canadian embassies, which had a very close relationship and were sharing information. So the early theory was that they were harassing the diplomats with some type of sound device, a sonic weapon. That may seem like an odd assumption at first, but you have to put yourself in their mindset. The idea that they were harassed made sense to them because there is a long history of Cuban agents harassing diplomats going back decades. All of the diplomats who were sent to the new embassy in 2015, they'd been briefed about it. They were told that during the Cold War, Cuban agents were notorious for harassing American diplomats. They would sneak into their homes at night and open up all the windows so they become filled with mosquitoes. They would rearrange bookshelves, move furniture around. You'd get up in the morning and go downstairs, and on your kitchen table, there'd be cigarette butts, and you don't smoke. and there'd be dog poo on your floor, and you don't have a dog.
Jeez, you know? why would they do this?
Calling card to let you know that they're watching you. And every one of those diplomats were told before they went to Cuba, they would be watched 24/7. So that's the mindset that these people were in when they heard these strange sounds. And then one of the members felt unwell. So the early assumption by the State Department was it's most likely some kind of sonic weapon. But there's an old saying, when you hear the sound of hoofbeats in the night, first think horses, not zebras. The doctors at the U.S. State Department went for the most exotic hypothesis early on. They were searching for unicorns when they should have stuck to more mundane explanations.
Explain, Robert, what is mass hysteria?
Well, I'm one of the few scientists in the world who specialize in mass hysteria. Think of it as the placebo effect in reverse. People can think themselves well. You can also think yourself unwell based on a belief. And when it happens in a group, it's mass hysteria. I'll give you an example. Right after the September 11th attacks, a man got on a subway in Maryland and sprayed a mysterious chemical. 35 people who breathed in the fumes collapsed, started coughing, having breathing problems, sore throats, headaches, and they were rushed to the hospital believing they were the victims of a chemical attack. That substance turned out to be a common window cleaner that people smell every day and are fine. And the victims quickly recovered at the hospital. Things like this happen all the time, both individually and groups. I mean, you go back to 1938 and the famous War of the Worlds radio panic.
Oh, sure.
The belief was that Martians were invading Earth. And the radio play described Martians firing heat rays and poison gas. People actually called police during that broadcast to report that they could feel the heat rays as described on the radio. People were coughing, talking to the police on the other end of the line, saying that they could smell the poison gas, and they were shoving rags underneath their doors and in keyholes to stop the imaginary gas from coming in. You know, the human imagination is very powerful, and people can see things that aren't there, they can hear things that aren't there, and they can even sense things that aren't there. A good example is the face on Mars, you know, which turned out to be shifting dust and sand, or astronomer Percival Lowell and others who thought they saw canals on Mars. You know, people can see what they want to see.
It's like looking at clouds and you could see faces of things, right?
Yeah, you know, there's a famous case in 1977 in Lake Arthur, New Mexico. Maria Rubio, a devout Catholic, burned a tortilla while cooking and was convinced it was the face of Jesus. And, well, the first thing is nobody knows what Jesus looked like. But tens of thousands of people flocked to her house to see what many believed was a miracle. I think there's also Jesus on a grilled cheese sandwich that sold for something like $26,000.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that.
A few years ago.
I remember that, indeed. Well, this syndrome, this mass hysteria syndrome, related to the Havana syndrome, why do you think this thing got out of hand the way it did?
Well, it's what happened early on. You know, what they were looking for. They were looking for some kind of mysterious new device instead of sticking to the tried and true. And, you know, this is such a confusing topic for people. It's confusing because most people aren't experts on acoustical weapons or pulsed microwave radiation or the physiology of the inner ear, or pesticides, or insect noises, or Cuban-American politics. What's really interesting here is, and what people may not realize, is that there have been at least 15 recordings that have been made by diplomats during the attack when they heard a noise and felt unwell. 15 recordings. 12 of them were made by the FBI. Some were made and given to the State Department. And those recordings have all been analyzed. And they have turned out to be the mating call of the Indies short-tailed cricket, one of the loudest crickets in the world, which is found in Cuba, the Jamaican field cricket, or the Caribbean cicada. And, you know, that's why I say you don't need to speculate about all these mysterious microwave or acoustical device theories. We have the recordings. They've been analyzed. And the problem with this case is people in the State Department, as you know now, there's been about 200 reports around the world, more recently in Austria. And the problem is the State Department told their people around the world in the intelligence community and their diplomats and embassies to be on the lookout for mysterious sound and if you feel unwell or anything unusual. That's a setup for mass psychogenic illness, and that's what's happening. People around the world are now on the lookout for any little sound or anything unusual. And the interesting thing is back in 2018, when they had the Senate hearing on this, Dr. Charles Rosenfeld was commenting about people hearing the sounds and feeling unwell. And he said it happened up to an hour within hearing the sound. Well, my goodness. Jeez. I mean, if I think I may be the target of some new mysterious weapon, and if I start listening and I'm not feeling well, I'm probably going to hear a sound that I can't completely identify. I mean, there's sounds all the time out there.
So when you look at this thing, you're convinced there was no microwave attack by the Russians or the Chinese. This is mass hysteria brought on by whatever it is.
That's right. And you know, it's a war scare scenario, really, a Cold War being reenacted again. And what's interesting here is the State Department warned those diplomats, and it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And there was a recent case where somebody was walking near the White House, and they said they heard this high-pitched sound. And they didn't go into great detail in the media, but they felt unwell, and they thought it was a microwave attack. And it got reported on CNN and all these other news agencies. But, you know, the problem is there are many medical conditions that can account for these reports. They're very varied in terms of the symptoms, the sounds. Some are very low, some are very high. And I'll give you an example of this. About twice a year, I will suddenly lose my hearing, then experience an intense high-pitched tinnitus that feels like an energy beam is piercing my head. And after several more seconds, it fades away. And, you know, I never talked about it. I've experienced this most of my life. And I learned later that this is very common. It's called transient tinnitus. And it can last for more than a minute. And it can be triggered by everything from neck tension to caffeine intake. And ordinarily, people don't pay too much attention to it because it goes away. But if I were a diplomat on high alert, I could easily mistake something like this for an energy attack.
And then everybody in the building would feel the same thing.
Havana syndrome has become a catch-all category for psychosomatic reactions and everyday ailments.
Robert, hold on. We're at a break. We're going to come back and talk more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we'll be back with more with Robert Bartholomew, and we'll be taking calls next hour. We're also going to talk about his work, American Hauntings, in just a second. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with Dr. Robert Bartholomew as we're talking about his latest work, Havana Syndrome. Dr. Robert, the National Academy of Sciences concludes that it might have been some kind of microwave radiation pulsed. And how could they be so wrong?
You know, that's a really good question, and I keep asking myself that. The behavior of the National Academy of Science as one of the premier scientific bodies in the United States was shocking. The two top explanations the panel was looking at, according to their own report, were mass psychogenic illness, mass hysteria, and microwaves. No one on the panel was an expert in either area. When the panel was formed, they did invite an expert on mass psychogenic illness, a friend of mine, Professor Simon Wesley at King's College in London. And he told me that right after he gave an interview in which he expressed the view that it was mass hysteria as the most likely explanation, they kicked him off the panel. The other surprising thing is that prior to last year's Havana Syndrome Conference in Cuba, which I attended, I know for a fact that FBI agents visited more than one speaker who planned to attend, whose presentations didn't support the government position, and they told them not to go. Now, I don't want to say whether they went or not, because these people don't want to be identified, but it's really concerning when you get a mixing of politics and science. And I think that's what's going on right now, a mixture of politics and science.
Maybe it's conceivable that intelligence sources want to believe that it was the Chinese or the Russians that were doing this to create that enemy effect again.
Or when Trump was in office, to please their boss, because, you know, I think that's what they expected that he wanted to find. You know, it's also been reported that the National Academy of Science has concluded that the most likely explanation for Havana Syndrome is this Frey effect, which involves pulsed microwave radiation. And not a single member of the panel was an expert on the Frey effect. And the first scientist to identify the mechanism involved in the Frey effect, which affects the nervous system, is Ken Foster at the University of Pennsylvania. And he says it's definitely not the Frey effect. Like, it's impossible. It couldn't be. And so you have to really look at the facts, follow the breadcrumbs. There's all kinds of noise out there. But in a case like this, you've just got to look at facts that you're sure of. And what we can be sure of is there are at least 15 recordings of attacks that were made by diplomats when they happened. And they have been analyzed and all turned out to be the mating calls of insects.
And crickets.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's also embarrassing to the government. And it's also interesting, the recent flare-up in Austria, which made the news, that wasn't initially reported and then leaked it to the media, and then they came out and talked about it. And I think that suggests, I have a hunch, and Professor Balo believes the same thing, and that is that at this point, the government has a strong suspicion that this is mass psychogenic illness. But it's going to be very embarrassing to them. Even though it's a different administration, you've got similar people who are still there involved in this investigation. And it would be quite embarrassing to think that what was initially perceived to be a sonic and then later microwave attack turned out to be the mating calls
of crickets
and cicadas.
Is it conceivable that they want people to believe there's some kind of a microwave attack going on?
You know, that's possible, but, you know, the U.S. wanted good relations with Cuba back in 2015, and this all came out just after the Trump administration won, but hadn't quite taken over yet. And I think they looked at these sounds, and they saw what they wanted to see. And there's a long history of that happening in science. The same with these studies. I mean, how can these studies get it so wrong? The Journal of the American Medical Association is one of the top medical journals in the United States and the world. but they clearly got it wrong. And I think it's similar to the astronomers looking at Mars and seeing what they wanted to see. The three American patient studies, they saw what they wanted to see, and they were given the patients, and they were given the data. So they would have been very pleased with that and subconsciously want to please the people that gave them the data. And at the time, they were saying things like they believed it was some kind of energy attack, particularly initially acoustical and then later microwaves. Microwaves and acoustical weapons, they are real, but they don't work very well, according to the literature. These didn't happen at the American Embassy. They happened at one of two major hotels in Havana and in their homes. And there's no such thing as a ray gun that you can take and point it at a building and target the people inside. 99% of the sound waves would bounce off the outer wall.
Mm.
It would be the equivalent of someone standing at one end of a football field with a squirt gun and trying to hit a target 100 yards away. I mean, it would defy the laws of physics. And the same for microwaves. A microwave device would have to be massive. It would have to almost touch your brain to be effective. And it wouldn't work because with the Frey effect, it would actually heat the tissue and fry your brain.
Might this have been done, Robert, to embarrass somebody?
You know, everything's on the table. But for me, you just have to deal with the facts as we have it. And it's very frustrating for Professor Balo and myself because we keep hearing all these stories. We keep hearing all these stories about white matter tract changes and brain damage and hearing loss in the news, and it's just not true. What's the old saying that was supposedly attributed to Mark Twain? It's not what a man knows that hurts him so. It's what he knows that just ain't so. And with all that misinformation out there, and all that noise, I'm going to give you a prediction. I predict that a few months from now, that you're going to have me back on the program, and the U.S. government is going to come out, and they're going to conclude the most likely explanation was mass psychogenic illness.
That is amazing. Is that what's happening now with some COVID cases around the world? I mean, I've never seen anything like this where everyone is so concerned about this thing.
Well, you know, you've got mass psychogenic illness, which is the rapid spread of symptoms. And then you've got social panics or a moral panic, which is an exaggerated fear response to a perceived threat, like the Red Scare of the 1950s, where people were seeing communists everywhere. And I think that things can get exaggerated, and then you start looking for what you expect to see. And, I mean, you see this all the time in things like UFO sighting waves monster scares or chupacabra waves, right? You get an initial sensational case that gets reported in the media. And then people start scrutinizing their environment for evidence of that creature or object. And, look, there's no question that UFOs are real. There are UFOs. People see them. The question is, what are UFOs? But some UFO sighting waves have been triggered by an initial sensational case, and then people start staring at the skies looking for evidence of more possibly extraterrestrial spacecraft, and they often start redefining ambiguous nocturnal stimuli reflective of what they expect to see. And so they see stars that change color. They see natural and man-made phenomena, and they misidentify that. And I would say 99% of UFO reports are that. There's a certain hardcore number of cases that are still not fully explainable. And I'm not going to tell you that I know what they are, but and I'm not going to tell you that I think they're extraterrestrial either. But, I mean, we have to keep that possibility open.
Did any governments ever come forward and said, we are responsible? I don't think so.
No. No one's come forward to say that they've been involved with this. But what's interesting is, in this case, you've got people now coming out of the woodwork, going back to the 1970s, giving media interviews with major media outlets, saying things like, well, I believe that back in the 1970s, I was targeted by some kind of mysterious microwave or energy device. And that's the thing. All these diplomats and all these intelligence officers have been told to be on the lookout for anything unusual or strange or feeling unwell and hearing unusual sounds. And lo and behold, people start hearing unusual sounds all around the world. I mean, these attacks now have been reported in Colombia and South America and Vienna, Austria, and Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan. In Russia, Australia, the United Kingdom. It's all over the world now. Diplomats and intelligence officers are seeing these things happen. I just think these conditions, these events that people are experiencing, medical conditions, medical events, have been happening forever. And now there's a new label, which anything now that happens gets shoved under the label of Havana Syndrome. It's a very convenient category for people to put all these things. And, of course, you've got a variety. It's not all just mass hysteria. It's a number of people are experiencing ambiguous symptoms, and they get redefined as, oh, this must be Havana Syndrome.
Are there any weapons out there, Robert, that could do this?
Well, you know, the literature on things like microwave and sonic devices shows that because of the restrictions of the laws of physics, the research hasn't gone very far. And look, I have no doubt that, you know, there are microwave and sonic devices out there. One of the best sonic devices ever developed is loud noise. A number of years ago, the Philippine government used it very well. They were playing very loud Katy Perry music to break up demonstrations. It was very effective.
Poor Katy.
So, I mean, I think loud sound is probably the best one that's going for acoustical weapons.
That's interesting. And, you know, stores, talking about marketing with this, have used music to enhance sales and get people to buy by the type of music they play.
Yeah, there's something I wanted to bring up with you, George, and I can't figure it out. There has been an ad, and maybe some of your listeners can know about this. There's an ad that's been playing about Havana Syndrome all over the United States. It's been going for about a year, and they give a phone number, and they talk very fast, and I've called the number, and nobody gets back to me, and they want you to report if you've had a sonic attack occurrence, and they describe themselves as PAX International.
Interesting.
And I've called the number. Other people have called the number. No one's gotten back to me, and it's just very strange. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not. I'll do some investigating into that, though, because that's weird. I wonder what kind of data they're trying to collect.
Well, it sounds to me like that's exactly what's happening. Somebody's spending a lot of money to find out who is reporting these symptoms or believes that they are being the subject of some kind of mysterious device. But it's a lot of money that's involved here. It's been going a long time. And then when you call the number, no one gets back to you.
Does it go to voicemail?
It does, yeah.
That's intriguing. to be sure. Robert, next hour, we're going to take calls with you, but I want to take a little bit of time to talk about your book, American Hauntings. But where do people get Havana Syndrome, that book?
You can get it all through Amazon.
That's the easiest way.
That's the easiest way. It was published by Springer Scientific, and their imprint is Copernicus Books. And the best way to get it is through Amazon, like all of my books.
By the way, where were you born? I don't detect an accent from you at all.
I was born at the base of Lake Champlain in a little town called Whitehall, New York, which claims to be the birthplace of the United States Navy.
Aha. Uh-huh. How did you end up in New Zealand?
Well, you know, I ask myself that at least three times a week. And we decided to come here to teach, and it's a fantastic place. It really is. It reminds me a lot of upstate New York, and there's a lot of Americans here. It's a beautiful country. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Stay with us, Robert. Hold on. We're going to come back next hour. We'll take phone calls with you. We'll talk about American Hauntings as well.